CC, it's great to talk to you. Now, we're going to get into some interesting things here in a moment about my horoscope, right?
We are.
We'll find out how that works. You come to the UFO Congress quite a lot.
I have been coming here about 8 years.
All the time. Now, you have a pretty important guy in your family. You might want to mention him.
My dad's Wendell Stevens, yeah. And he's written a number of books that everybody's familiar with.
Now, you have a booth here, so you got Wendell looking at it right now, right?
Absolutely. I have Wendell watching my stuff for me.
We're going to talk. We talked on the phone a little bit, and somehow I thought you said that you had recipes for solar cooking. Well, you didn't, but you do now, right?
I have my Cosmic Cafe magazine, and in that, I, of course, do cover everything in it. And one of the things that I do, I am a cook. I do have solar recipes, so if you'd like to go there,
yeah,
we can.
Well, I'd like to mention a couple of those before the show gets away. In fact, if you want to, we can get into that first.
Absolutely.
So when we had a little discussion, you saw our calendar, and that's for the whole staff, and part of them are in Boulder, Colorado, and part of them are in Secaucus, New Jersey, and every place else. So we use the internet a lot, even for little inner communications. And I put solar cooking up there, so I won't disappoint the staff. They're waiting to hear about that.
Well, the good news behind that is with my magazine this year, I'm focusing it on green and the environment. And one of the things I have in there is being able to utilize solar cooking more. Now, there is a lot of cooking boxes that are out there, and if you go into the magazine, there's some web pages in there as to where you can go about. I believe I might even have a link on one of these. I'll look around and see if I can't find it. That is telling you, or if nothing else, you can go to the magazine, Cosmic.
Well, we do have a link to you.
CosmicCafe.us.
Right.
Go in there, and there's all types of free information and free items that you can get.
Now, you have a regular magazine. Does it come out, too, or is it always a PDF file?
It's a PDF internet file, okay. And I have a little over 3,000-plus subscribers that are into it now. But what we do on that one is we have the box cooker. And the box one is...
See, that's
box.
How I got to the solar cooking, I
that's
guess.
That's well, so, yeah. And have that box cooker, and you set it down.
So you can't say I didn't look at your newsletter, because
no,
I did.
No, I know you did. I know you did. Sure you did. Set those mirrors up, put your food in there, and it runs it at a temperature. A box cooker is like using a slow cooker, your crock pot. There we go, and it's the same style.
Uh-huh.
So you're getting a much more tender cooking for your vegetables or your meats of what you're doing. Why not utilize that sun and be able to have that delicious roast dinner in the summertime without heating your kitchen up? And think about the savings that you're doing. Helping the planet by not sucking down the energy, but by using the natural ones that we have out there.
And have you tried that? Does it work?
I have, and it makes a fantastic pot roast. I tell
oh,
you,
really?
Dad sure does love
it. Can they buy that through your magazine?
Can't buy it through the magazine, but they can order it. They can go in. I have links for everything where they can find them. But also through the magazine, I have links where you don't have to buy them. You can make your own for free. It's quite easy.
Well, that's great.
Absolutely. You can take a cardboard box, put your mirrors inside of that where it's facing at your angle. I believe it is a 45 angle.
Mm-hmm.
It catches the sun's rays. It brings it back down. You have a cover over that, and the next thing you know, you have an oven that's running at around 275.
Now, what can I cook in there?
Anything.
Oh, really?
Anything. Just wrap it up into some foil, or if you have a little pot, put your pot down on the bottom, and the sun comes and beats down into it, and it'll cook it up from that.
Well, that's fantastic. That's a great idea.
They have had a lot of these that they have been using over in Africa that they have been showing up and showing how to be able to cook and boil the water with in order to be able to get more sterilizing and cleaning your water solutions over in different countries that they've been putting this. It's not just Africa, but, you know, in different areas that they've worked with. And you know, it's something that we can use out there.
Yeah, now, I want to talk to you about you by profession, I guess you'd say you're an astrologer.
I am.
And... does that come naturally, or do you develop that, or how does that work? I mean,
You know, astrology, there's several different types. There is your cookbook astrologer
right.
that went out and bought a program and threw it in his computer and said, there you go.
Okay.
Now I'm an astrologer. Then you have the one that's gone to, like, Kepler College, and they've learned about astrology. It's been taught. You're learning astronomy and astrology, which can come together.
Uh-huh.
Now you're learning more about your heavens and how it comes about. You have your planets out there, and each of them having an influence within your life. Okay, now, in something like that, that is where you're coming in with your professional astrologer, because they have literally learned it, learned all about it. You need to learn the longitude and the latitude and the mathematics about it. You need to learn about the planets. You need to learn about the aspects. And it's something that more of an exacting of what you're doing.
And where do you come in?
I started out as a cookbook astrologer. Okay, okay. I went in.
Ah, confession time here.
Yeah. When I was about 16, I went in and sat down, and I was in Texas, and there was a gentleman in there. He was probably in his 60s, and I went in, and he said he was an astrologer and wanted to do my chart. So he sat down, he did my chart, and he didn't touch a book. And this is everything about you, and this is based on your time and your date and your place of birth. I looked through that, and I said, how did you find that out, and how do you know this is that and that's there? Because it all comes from the ephemeris. What's the ephemeris? This is a book with all the planets and the signs in it. That's how I know. I sat there and I'm like, okay. So I went home and I says, well, you know what? If he can do that, I don't know why I can't. So I went and bought a series of books by a noted astrologer. He had 12 in the series, Learn How. I read those books and I learned all about it. And I got that ephemeris and I learned all about it. Next thing you know, I was sitting down with someone and I said, let's see now. Based on what time you were born, this is where the ascendant would be. The ascendant is your rising or your physical self. The ascendant is based on the sun's time from the horizon and where the planet or constellation in the sky is at that time, at that hour. That becomes the ascendant. This is where it comes from going in and learning the mathematics. If you're a cookbook, you don't know this. You've got to go, well, let me go get my computer and find out. To where if you've learned it, now you can go in and say, okay, this is where you set. Based on that, that gives you a chart, which gives you each of the houses. Each of those houses is where the planets fall.
As we discuss things today, I'm going to be asking what probably are amateur questions.
Okay.
But, you know, it's the only way you learn things. Explain to me, you know, we've heard astrology terms all our life. Mm-hmm. We've read it in the newspaper. You meet somebody, you want to find out what their sign is, on and on and on. But what is important, like in my sign? I gave you all my information. I guess we can use me as a guinea pig here on the air to talk about things.
Absolutely.
If you want
and that was the reason why I said for you to give me your information. Who better is going to know you than you?
No, well,
and
you
then
got
you
got
can
a
come back and
there.
Critique it. And
right.
I have no problem with being critiqued, because then you can go, you know what, that's so wrong. And I can go, okay, you can go on there,
well,
but maybe I'll be so
kinda
right.
Now, I'm not going to get any bad news in here.
No.
Oh, good, okay.
I would never give anybody bad news.
Well, that's an interesting question. If you get some bad news, what do? Just gloss over it or what?
No, I would not gloss over it. But then if you are a professional astrologer,
uh-huh.
You are taking a responsibility of what you're doing. If you went to a doctor and a doctor found that you were ill, would you expect them to tell you the truth, or would you just tell them to kind of like pass by? You'd want to know about the truth. It's about ethics and being able to have a very ethical manner about you in being an astrologer. That's where is the difference between your cookbook astrologer and your professional one.
Are you expensive?
No, I'm not, actually.
Okay. You're reasonable.
I'm very reasonable.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's the best way to say.
The average.
Say affordable. You're affordable.
I'm very affordable.
Yeah.
Your average astrologer is going to probably charge you between $50 to $100
uh-huh.
to do a chart for you. On mine, I'm below 50.
So now, people, do they have to meet you person to person, or can you do this by email?
They can do it by email, or they can do it in person, whichever way they want to work best, okay. Or they can even call me up and go over the phone with it.
You can do it on the phone?
I can do it on the phone. I prefer, if you want just a chart, you can email me, and I will be more than happy to send your chart back to you and go from that. I go a little bit further. I like to put mine to the CD, like you have. I like to go ahead and put it into that, and I give a book format that I come back with. Depending on the aspects, that's planets that are making aspects to each other in your chart, probably an entire book on you will come to about 600 to 800 pages.
Well, you don't do that for $50.
I do.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Wow.
I do.
Folks, we got a bargain here.
That's right. I do it, in fact, for less than $50. It's called The Book of You, and it's $35.
So anyone listening could
go into my webpage and say, I want it. I was on Jerry Pippin. I want it for $35,
right.
And it's done.
We have a link to that. So this is a good deal. Now, you asked me to serve, give you certain information, and I guess that's pretty pro forma. Everybody you talk to, the same information?
Absolutely.
Except a different date, of course.
Absolutely. I asked him if you would give me your date, time, and place of birth, which you most generously gave to me.
Right, and I'm an old dude, so I might as well get
used to it. I don't
know.
You look kind of young and cute to me. I don't think you're that old. I think you're lying about this date.
No, that's true, date. Anyway, let's go ahead and explain what we're going to be doing here.
Okay.
The Book of You, that's interesting.
I call it the Book of You because it's all about you. Uh-huh. It's all about taking astrology, I take numerology, take the biorhythm, I take everything. Because when I'm looking at
the biorhythm, what is that?
The biorhythm has...
I mean, I hear these words all the time, but I never really follow them up, so I'm going to do that with
you. Astrology is where you are, date and time that you're born. These are the planets in the sky and where they fall. The numerology is taking your entire name and breaking it down to a single digit, and each one of those has a vibration as well, that it's going to break down into, like if your name broke down into a 7, you're more of that scientific type thinking person. If it broke down all into each letter represents 1 through 9 of the numerics, and then goes back to 1. So A is a 1, B is 2. Follow that up to 9, which would be J is 1. So no P Q R, R is a 9, and then S goes back to 1 again. So now you take each of those and reduce it to the single digit. So if, you know, from that, then you take it down to 1, and then that's your vibration that you're looking with. That becomes a numerology. Now, your question on biorhythm again is going with your date of birth, and it is your physical influences, your physical, emotional, spiritual, and intellectual. It's a line wave. It is an energy wave that you go with. And then you find when you are in balance with it, and you're either going to be imbalanced, so maybe the physical is there.
I take it being imbalanced is not good.
Well, if you're physically on top of your mark, but you're emotionally not, then you could be making faulty decisions, or not so much faulty decisions, but maybe, you're not quite, you're feeling discombobulated.
Well, they couldn't be as correct as they should be.
Correct. And then every set amount of time, I don't know the exact amount of time, I apologize about that, they will all line up in the heavens, all at peak. These are considered good luck times. However, if they're all down at the bottom, then these are your low times. When these lines cross each other, where your midline is, you have a center line that rolls through midline. When these two lines cross each other, this is called a critical time. When you hit that critical time, these are areas that you need to be aware and wise, more wise on things.
Okay, now we got the basics down. Roberta, we're going to take a break first, or if I got time to start this. We got a couple of minutes. What we'll do is take a break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to find out about Jerry Pippen. They accuse people on radio of being egomaniacs, so this fits right in.
Are you sure you're ready to find out who Jerry Pippen is?
Yeah, I'm going to be surprised, probably.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Okay, well, good. But she said it wasn't too bad, folks.
No, it's a very good chart.
Don't go away. We'll be back.
The year was 1970 when Jack Blanchard and Misty Morgan released their first big single hit, Tennessee Birdwalk. For the first time in the history of music, this 45 RPM single becomes available to the public in the form of a mouse pad. Made of high-quality quarter-inch rubber, this fabric-covered 8-inch mouse pad delivers your mouse a very smooth ride. For only $9.95 plus $2.50 shipping and handling, your mouse pad will be rushed via USPS first-class mail. Simply click on the happy little mice and be directed to our ordering page. Hurry while this limited time offer lasts.
Okay, CC, we're going to do my chart.
Okay, now, on looking at your chart, you have a Capricorn rising. This would determine your build, okay? Now, each of the houses is 12 houses representing a certain portion of your life. Here we have at the angles, which would be 1, 4, 7, and 10. The first house is your build. Your fourth is your home, how you see your home, view your home, work your home. Seventh is your partner or partnerships that you bring in. And tenth then comes into being your career. Now through you, okay, and taking a look here, we have Capricorn rising, and we want to be able to find Saturn, which rules Capricorn. We're going to find it down here in the third house of Aries. Okay, this is helping to describe more on your build in there.
Okay.
Capricorn, okay, you tend to have a longer face with the Capricorn in there, and they tend to be people that age well. So maybe when you were younger, you looked older. But when you got older, you started kind of like growing into that face, and now you had that youthfulness. Sean Connery,
yeah, I'm just
example.
Now coming into my own. So.
That's it. Okay, now your fourth house has to do with how you view your home and what you're looking with it. In yours, you have Taurus to the fourth house, which is a Venus-ruled area. Taurus is somebody that likes to be able to have that at-homeness. I'm looking for your Venus in Sagittarius. So now we're putting in there that you want to be, it's in the 11th, you want to be able to have that at home. But I'm going to have to say your home is probably something that's eclectic in it. It's a little bit freedom needing to be. You or have the plants, you're comfortable in working with the dirt, maybe, using your hands, growing plants. But then with that Venus in Sagittarius, don't hold me down. I got to constantly be moving out there, and you tend to go for more of that eclectic blend. Would you probably agree with that?
Yeah. So, that's probably true. I don't know about the dirt part. I've gardened before, so.
But do you like to garden?
It's okay, but not.
You don't find it calming?
No, but I could.
Maybe you need to learn to garden.
Yeah, that's what I started to say. Maybe that's what the deal needs
maybe
to be.
Maybe you've missed your calling all these
years.
Yeah,
right.
It's a good
right.
thing you're having this done now.
Right.
Still have time.
Right.
Your seventh house is your partner. Your partner has to do with the sign Cancer, and your moon is again in Taurus. You sure you don't like to garden?
I didn't say I didn't like to garden.
Yeah.
I mean, I just haven't done much of it.
Okay, well, now your seventh house is Cancer. Okay, this could be your wife, then. Maybe she likes to garden. Maybe she's good with the cooking. This says that you're looking for a partner in there that, A, can be your partner, that is bringing that home feeling in there to it, that brings that back to you. You want somebody that can stand by you in what you're doing. Through the moon in Taurus, you need to have that nurturing in there, that partner that's a touchy-feely partner.
Okay.
And it's something that, and you would be seen as probably a romantic partner, someone that maybe with your spouse.
Oh, I definitely am. Roses are red, violets are blue type thing.
That's fantastic. So all men should be so sweet. Okay, now your 10th house is your career. 10th house up here is in Scorpio. Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, and you're finding your Pluto in Leo. This is going before the public in the 7th house. So now you're finding yourself out there. In Pluto in the 7th house, you have friends that are friends, and you have enemies that are enemies. There's no doubt about it. You're bringing that out there. Friends are very, very loyal. But the open house with the Pluto in there could say that your enemies could be open enemies, very open about it. So there's no secrets.
Well, I have people that attack me that aren't bashful, so I guess so.
Suppose on that. Now with Scorpio up there in the 10th house, this is somebody that likes to get into a field. What you're doing with the broadcasting. Going out and going before the public.
Right.
Pluto is dealing with the 8th house, and that's putting out there other people and bringing them in. Exactly what you're doing. And Pluto's out there helping as well. Also, maybe you might have had a secret job you're interested in investigating, researching as an investigator, and researching that's what that, or Pluto.
Well, I do like investigative reporting, so
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that's coming up there with that okay. Scorpio up on the 10th house. So this is how you're working with that. Now what we were looking at, and here's one that you'll enjoy, is, and we're at a UFO conference, it ties in with it.
Okay.
I do ET charts. Now with an ET chart, what I have found, something I haven't seen anybody else doing out there, although I did hear there is one other woman that does this, I believe she's in Brazil, is I take the ninth house has to do with long journeys, and which, of course, space travel, and I use the ninth house and the 11th house. The 11th house is that ship is what I find. I use Uranus and Neptune for the planets. Uranus is the actual ship itself, and Neptune is the aliens. So now I take that ninth house and I bring it around to the first house, and I find out where Uranus and Neptune fall. So if we make this your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, bringing Uranus and Neptune in, I'm trying to find them real quick for you, I'm sorry. 12th house, so Neptune is a 12th house for you, and we have Uranus down here is...
She's counting the chart here, folks.
8th house. Now we're going back with Uranus, and there goes back, actually goes back to broadcasting. But one thing I have found in your chart, and looking at the aspects, a septile, that's 51 degrees, 52 minutes. If you bring, which happens to also coincide with the pyramids in their degrees, if you bring that down, it's called a septile. When you have planets in septile with each other, I have found that generally you'll find an ET contact going on in there. Now, I ran this through all the people that I know and the different ones that have had contacts of one type or another to find out how many ended up with this aspect. And interesting enough...
What'd you find out?
Yeah, of the 2,500 people that was in there, I ended up, that I know of, out of my list, 6 people that ended up with the aspects of that septile hitting that point. And Jerry,
you were one of those six people.
So I would have to say...
Well, it's very interesting. You know, I have many of the symptoms of the abductees that I interview, but I don't think I've ever been abducted, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, now here's the thing. You are in broadcasting, and what is one of the things you do? You interview abductees.
Right.
And there it is. You're in the broadcasting.
Yeah.
There's your septile. Now, isn't that kind of a fascinating kind of a place, the way that rolls with that?
Yeah, that is.
So that would show, in looking at a chart and sitting down, if I sat with Uranus in the first house with somebody, then I would say, or Neptune in there, that's going to tell me, are they having contacts through friends? Or are they having to contact themselves? Or is it a dream state? Is it real? Is it Memorex? Is it something that I thought I had but I really didn't have? A psychosis kind of thing? Or was it the real deal they came in? Taking a chart can find some. Taking your chart and progressing it forward. Now this is, for every year you're alive, you move the sun around 1 degree. This is called a progression. By doing that, you progress the sun around. This can tell when contact points can come in.
Yeah, I've moved the sun around a lot of degrees.
Yeah. Well, you know, each time it moves a little bit more, you might be born when you come in and you're sitting there and you're a Sagittarius by sign. So when you start this, you count your number every 30 years, you change into the next sign. So maybe in your first 30 years, you were wild and rebellious out there. The next 30 years, you come in and you're, well, you probably, 2 degrees Sag, you probably were wild and rebellious when you were growing up. Second portion of your life, you moved into...
It was unpredictable.
Second portion of your life, you went into Capricorn. Now you are nice and solid. You got your feet on the ground and you worked hard for what you were. Then you come into that third one and you go from Capricorn into Aquarius. You're back to being wild and rebellious again. What are you going to do?
Well, it kind of fits. I just thought it was a senior citizen moment or something. I didn't know.
So that's where you go when you roll these around. And that's how astrology works. It's finding those out and doing it.
You know, it's very interesting. People listening to us, what can they really truthfully expect from a professional astrologer like you? What can you do for them? I mean, 600 pages is a lot of stuff.
It is.
So you cover a lot of things.
Well, most people get my book and they go, well, I don't know if I can read that many pages. This goes beyond War and Peace. I'll tell you, in astrology...
What kind of feedback do you get?
I get very good feedback.
Okay.
I get people that come back and they say they're impressed with what they got. They're really happy with it. And if in getting a chart done or going to an astrologer, it's kind of like if you walk in and say, well, what does my chart say? Well, that's okay. You know, we can give you the basics like I've done with you. But is there an area in particular that you're wanting to know about? This is where astrology can go. In the locational map, and sitting down having a chart done shows a location where planets are having their strongest influence for you. So maybe you went to New York, and you didn't do so good there as, let's say...
Has something to do with that, huh?
Yes, in your media area. But yet, you went and you broadcast out of a different area, and suddenly you were very successful in that area. Why is that? That's because, let's say, your sun line, you, is rolling across the area, let's say Laughlin in this case, and in Laughlin, people responded to you in a very popular way. They liked you. Everybody tuned in.
I must tell you that over the years, location. I have been successful in some markets and other places I weren't as
Absolutely, and that's what the locational chart can do for you. By having an astrologer, can come in and say, these are the areas where you will have your best potential.
Do you have any idea where I need to be? Right, I guess I'm doing okay.
I opened a kettle of worms on that. Because,
yeah, yeah.
You know, Jerry, that's the one chart I didn't print up over here.
No, that's fine.
And we all know our computers went so I can't pull my computer up because I did have everything on that.
It's just interesting. The whole thing is interesting. So people actually, do you feel, I hear these stories all the time about people that use astrologers for business decisions.
Absolutely.
Not only romance, but a lot of things. Politicians use it.
Absolutely.
And you doing any politicians?
I haven't done any politicians.
Okay. So there is some validity to these people that do this, then, you
think?
There
is very much so, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
In other words, I'm going to have to get Roberta from now on when I do a show. I'm going to have to call CC. Are you in Tucson?
I am in Tucson.
Okay. That's the reason you know about solar cooking.
That's right. Every summer I go out there and just cook.
You're right. So I can call you up, and you have a chart on somebody. You probably have clients that ask you, should I go on vacation here, or should I do this business deal? In other words, you know where I'm going with this. Do you give up your independence when we connect with astrology? I mean, am I losing it, or do you just give me ideas that I can say this or that?
You know, with astrology, and this is what I believe, it's all about free will.
Yeah, okay, that's what I want to find out.
I can say this, I can advise and say, this is a good area for this, and this is a good area for that. This is a good area to go for romance, this is a good area to go for career, this is a good area to go for vacation. But I cannot change the course of your life if you choose not to do. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen for you. It just means that this is a good area to do it.
In other words, you're dealing more in likelihoods or probabilities rather than you got to do this or you're going to fail type thing. In other words, it's best if you did this rather than you're not telling my fortune.
No.
You're not telling me that I got to go do this tomorrow.
No. Okay. I'm not going in there and telling you that if you don't do this, dire things are coming to you.
And building's going to fall on you tomorrow night.
And I tell you, any good astrologer would not tell you that.
Yeah.
If they did, then I would sit back and say, are we dealing with a Sister Rose?
So, do you have any heroes in astrology? Any astrologers you like?
You know, there are so many good ones out there.
Oh, so you...
I'm
not trying to pin you down to endorsing somebody.
Oh, no, I know, and I know that. When I first learned astrology, and I will say that the astrologer I went and got his series was Noel Till. He has a series of 12 books, and that is what completely taught me about astrology. Then I went out and I learned with Steve Cozy and Jim Lewis about locational astrology. Jim, God rest his soul, has already passed on. Steve Cozy's out there, fantastic astrologer. These are wonderful people. Each one of them has found a specialty that they've specialized in. And there is another way of looking at astrology, too. Are you looking for a locational? You might want to go to someone who is directly dealing with that area.
Do you have a specialty?
I don't. I'm real broad out there.
Okay.
In that I look at different directions. I can look at synastry, which is the relationship of two people. I can look at locational. I can look at each of these areas in there and find in there. And you know, some go different directions with it, some don't. Now, there's Western astrology, there's Chinese astrology, there's Vedic astrology. And quite frankly, which one is correct?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
I give up.
That's it. There's so many to go from. Which one
is correct?
Do you
have a preference?
And so that's exactly right. You have to look at where you have your preference. I do Western astrology, but I have gone and had people, Vedic astrologers, do my chart, and I have been absolutely amazed. And with Vedic astrology, it takes you back 30 degrees on your sign. So you might be a Sagittarius, but in Vedic astrology, you're really a Scorpio. I'm a Gemini, but in Vedic astrology, I'm really a Taurus. It's going by that exact position in the sky versus what we see as that position in time.
We're going to take a break when I come back. It is an ET UFO event here at the UFO Congress. I'm going to find out about whether or not star beings, star people, extraterrestrials, people from other places. Is astrology affecting them? We'll find out with CC. I'm Jerry Pippin.
I want to take a moment to talk to you about astrology. We all enjoy reading astrology in the newspaper, love, life in general. But I want to talk to you about CC Stevens. She's in Arizona, and she is really a top-notch astrologer. And she does something a little different, and I think you should know about it. She offers to her customers the Book of You for only $35. Literally, this is a book about you. I don't really have time in a radio commercial to go into all of the details of why you should consider ordering the Book of You. So I urge you to click on this banner that's on this page with the show and check it out. And you can order it for $35. Check, credit card, whatever. This is a great gift idea, too, so order now.
Now, your dad is an expert. We're talking about CC again here. This is an amazing thing, all of this. I'm still overwhelmed about some of the things you said about my astrology. Other than the gardening, you were perfect. Now, maybe I should have been a farmer. I don't know. and the gardening, I think I'm fine with. I just don't do it, that's all. Maybe I need to be out there. I do like nature, and I do like the feeling of it. So, you know, there may be some things. Maybe I haven't followed my... I always thought I knew myself well, but maybe I don't.
Well, here's one we'll try, because something I just noticed in your chart. And you can give me a yes or no on this.
Okay.
You have Moon conjunct Uranus in Taurus, and Taurus is naturally a very psychic sign, and Moon conjunct Uranus is very psychic. Would you consider yourself intuitive?
Yes and no.
Well, put you on the spot.
I think that's a secret to whatever success I've had in interviewing, is that I kind of feel intuitively what people want to talk about or
all
say.
Right.
And I read people fairly well, I think.
So then you're,
yeah.
And I would agree with you. So yeah. Then people feel comfortable because you're able to kind of key in to where they're going with this.
So from that standpoint, if I develop the psychic thing, maybe I could. I just don't really practice that too much, but I definitely read people.
Do you have a gut feeling on people?
Sure.
All right.
I don't get locked into the point where the first impression made all the difference, but it weighs heavily.
Okay. See, now that's looking at your intuition, though.
Yeah.
And being able to sit down and look at something and say, intuitively, I have a strong feeling about this or that this is, you know, I feel good about this or not.
I use that in all of my research and investigative reporting.
Mm-hmm.
I go by hunches, which is I call them, or feelings.
And that's, again,
more than I do evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do get to the evidence stage, but I think a lot of times evidence is overlooked and read the wrong way, and we just don't really put it all together in the right way. And so I always call it giving people the benefit of the doubt. In other words, when I listen to them and they're telling me the story, I don't immediately say, well, that line, so-and-so, you know, I mean, I've got, and a lot of people think that's being naive, and I think it is. I think it gets a good show, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, on intuition, just to go in a direction on that for a second, excuse me, on intuition, I firmly believe that everyone is intuitive. I think we all have that talent. Some of us are just a little bit more tapped into it than others, or more open to different areas to it.
Yeah, you listen to your body or your mind or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What about, before the break, your dad's a premier researcher, UFO ufologist, had a great career in the Air Force before that. Do you have a feeling about extraterrestrials, beings themselves? I mean, are they playing by the same rules we are, or what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to go with an honest line.
Yeah, okay.
And we'll say, we can't say that we're alone in the universe.
Right.
I don't believe that we're alone in the universe.
Right.
I do believe that there are others out there. as far as a lot of the experiences, though, have we not taken some trauma in our childhood and brought it forward and gave it an ugly, bug-eyed face? And now we can account for that trauma that might have been in there.
Well, that's the reason I said I don't think I've been abducted. I think I was just a very creative guy, and as a kid I wanted to be an actor and a writer and a producer, and when I go to these horror movies, most people just get scared. I started analyzing them, and I would have dreams about them, and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were talking
about... No, that's all right. That's all right. And I'm going with you on that.
Yeah.
I agree. Now, you're asking me on the ETs.
Yeah.
I personally have had experiences.
You do?
I have had experiences in my childhood and in my adulthood. But, however, I still, like you, stand back and analyze it and go, was that real? Or was that Memorex? Is that something in my imagination?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's very imaginative.
It's one of those difficult things, anyway. And I think your dad seems to know more about more species and varieties and more stories than anybody I've ever written. And that has to...
He's had a lot of people that have come forward and contacted
right.
him.
Right. But as he shares that with you and everything, that has to make an impact on what your experiences are, too.
Absolutely.
And so I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to
make
it clear for the audience.
You have a dream, and let's say you dream you're up on a mountain, and you can smell the pine, and you can taste it in your mouth. It is so vivid and real, and the cool water that you drink, it's very real. And then you wake up and realize it was only a dream.
We guess.
And now I can tell you on this. Here's one my husband told me. How do you know the dream is reality and reality is not a dream?
True. I mean, he's got a good point there. That's what I meant by
that. How do you know
that?
We're not dreaming this entire thing right now, but in reality, we're someplace else. We just don't know that. There is that very fine line of where we're at in there. Now, let's go into another direction and completely tie it in as well. Remote viewing. Remote viewing is where you can project yourself to someplace else. Uh-huh. We are using... only, 3-5% of our actual brain?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say an ET is able to use 60% extraterrestrial. And let's say they're on another planet and they have projected themselves here. Some of us are strong enough we can project ourselves to...
Well, it's not that far out.
Now we're seeing something. How do we know they're not projecting themselves here? And we're actually seeing them because they're showing a manifestation of them.
Well, you got a good point. There's a lot of things to think about, and the more times we examine these things, the more complicated it gets.
It opens more questions, and you get in deeper and deeper and deeper, and then after a while, you're sitting there, you're swimming in it, and you're going, wow, it's overwhelming.
Well, I mean, you got a good point. I mean, as a kid, I wanted to be the number one broadcaster in the world, so how do I know? It's not wishful thinking, or I'm having a dream that I'm still doing it. Are you there listening? Are you real? You brought up a whole new ball
game. That's right,
because
everybody creates their own reality.
Yeah.
Well, with my kids, and I will say this, when they were growing up, I always told them it doesn't matter what. You can be whatever you want to be, whatever you choose to be. You only have to set the path. The start of any journey is that first step. You step the foot out and you say, I'm going to be the best broadcaster out there. Now, what do I have to do to be that best broadcaster? You're doing pretty good on your path, by the way, Jerry.
Well, thank you. I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but what I meant by that was I agree with you. I think I find a lot of people that don't seem to have any direction at all in life. And it seems to be getting worse, but maybe that's because I'm getting older. Maybe we look at things differently as we get older. I don't know.
Did you ever consider that we went through the stage, I'm sorry, with a certain, there's something in the air up here at the hotel that seems to be getting a lot of people.
Oh, your dry throat is famous for Nevada.
And yeah, it's doing the same thing here, so I apologize for that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of parents that are deciding not to be parents. They're negating that. Did you ever notice in the 1940s we didn't have this problem? Because we were family-centered. We sat around the dinner table, we ate together, we talked together, we worked together, we played together, we did things together. Now we don't. We're too busy with our cell phones. We're too busy with our computers.
I'm amazed at some of these 10, 11-year-olds that have cell phones and their own private numbers.
Numbers and everything else, but do they sit and have dinner with their family? No.
No.
So they don't connect. They become disconnected. And now we're so disconnected, is it any wonder all our kids are, well, not all of them, but a lot of them are running wild?
Well, now, you're close to your family,
mm-hmm.
and I'm close to my family. I meet a lot of people that aren't.
With my children, I will say this. You will have parents that say, well, we're both working parents. It doesn't matter how much time. It's not the quantity time. It's the quality of time.
Right, what you do.
And even just coming together, and I've noticed this in families, that even just coming together and having dinner and sitting down to dinner, turning off the TV, eating together, talking together, has made a big difference in their lives.
Oh, I've seen research on that even.
Yeah, absolutely. I was this way with my kids.
And I used to scoff at that a little bit, but then I began to look at it, and I always had dinner with my family.
Yes.
And
when I was growing up, I had dinner
with
my family.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's always been a tradition. And I know Roberta Scott, our producer, same with her family. So the fact is, you're probably right. It's these little simple things that make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? When you get a chart done, brings it completely around again, doesn't it? Let's say you have a chart done on your child.
She's got a little bit of her dad in there. She's going to plug a book next.
No. I do have a bunch of books, but I'm not going to plug them.
Well, we need to plug some of them.
To sit down, and let's say you had a chart done of your child. That's going to tell you where your child's potential is. Where are they the best at in growing up? When I do books for people that just have a baby, I sit down and say, here's your baby book. Here is the direction to take your child that's going to work with it. If you have a Gemini child, the best thing that you can give them is something that's going to make them think. Like, put them in the kitchen. The best toy I found for Gemini children, put them in the kitchen, bring out the pots, pans, and wood. Now they can bang on them and make music. They're more fascinated with that. Or give them an old phone so they can take it apart and put it back together again. They will be amused for hours. On the other hand, if you have like an earth sign child.
You've opened up a whole new marketing area there I hadn't thought about. But that is logical, does make sense.
It does. And when you've sat down and you work with someone and you show
them. You know, that's one of the things I have noticed about astrology over the years is that Sagittarians, like I am, I'm on the cusp, kind of, not quite, but mm-hmm. almost there. But Sagittarians are a certain way, Leos are a certain way, by and large. Have you found that really be true, or is it more important about the specifics of the houses you're born in?
You know, and the fire signs are the
Well,
doers.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
fire signs, water signs.
Right. And your fire. Okay, so we're looking at Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius.
Right.
Are the fire signs. They're the doers. Aries starts it. He's going to start it, but Taurus has to come in and help plan it. And Gemini is going to, Taurus is your construction.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Aries is your starter. He's your architect. Taurus is going to be your construction guy, but Gemini is going to come in there and say, well, I'm going to need to help you write those plans correctly. Cancer comes in and says, well, I'll feed you, I'll nurture you. Leo comes in and says, well, you're going to need somebody that's going to be the boss. I will gladly jump in and be the boss.
That sounds like Roberta. She's a Leo. That's the reason she's the producer.
The boss. And then you come
but
in.
But we Sagittarians know we really are. No, go ahead.
Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah.
Virgo comes in there. Now, Virgo is your statistician. They're going to make sure everything is all the dots are dotted and T's mm-hmm. are crossed. But they're also your healthcare people. They're coming in. They're going to make sure you're bandaged and everything is all right on that. Libra comes in there. Libra needs to make it all pretty. Libra cannot make a decision about anything, but Libra can sure make it pretty. So they're your artists in the group. Scorpio is going to investigate and research it. So give them the areas that they can do the research work. Sagittarius comes in. You know, it's interesting about a Sagittarius. Have you ever noticed you stamp your feet a lot?
Yeah.
You pace back and forth, and that's a typical Sagittarius. You watch them stamping their feet, you'll know they're Sagittarius. It's stamping it because they're like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Yeah, I'm ready to roll. Here's your Sagittarius. They are going to go out and make it all happen. Capricorn, he's going to come in there, and he's going to find the dollar signs. Let's find out how we can break this down into a monetary area and make it work. Aquarius comes in. He's the inventor, the creator. He's going to come out and take you to the space and technology. And Pisces, he's your spiritual leader. He's going to come in and help you find guidance and find yourself to center yourself. There's your 12 signs in a nutshell.
That was worth the show right there. I like that part. But we have. I want to get back to astrology and earthbound people and extraterrestrials. I mean, they would have. It wouldn't be the same. I'll just ask you when I come back. This is Jerry Pippin. Don't go away.
Hey, have I got an idea here, and I would like to follow it up with especially grandparents, or maybe your new parent, the new baby coming. Is it a boy? Is it a girl? What the future will bring? All of that anticipation and excitement of a new member of the family can be captured forever. Listen to this. This is a great idea. We represent an astrologer, C.C. Stevens, who's really unique. And she has something called the Book of You. For $35, you have to have the name of the person, the location where they were born, and the date, and the exact time. And you submit that to C.C. And basically, in a couple of days, we'll put it in the mail. You'll get a little CD back about the Book of You. What a great idea for a newborn child. All of the astrological information laid out for that new member of the family. A great gift idea, don't you agree? C.C. Stevens. She has an ability that is almost unexplainable, but she's right on. Trust me.
We're talking with C.C. here, and what sign is your dad, by the way?
My dad's a Capricorn.
Okay, and what are you?
I'm a Gemini.
Okay. Oh, and Roberta, you're a Leo.
August 22nd.
And I'm a Sagittarian. So listeners, all you have to do is just get in touch with CC and got an address there on the website, and she can get the Book of You out for less than $50.
And you know, if any of your listeners want to learn about astrology very easily, I'd like to tell you, if you don't have it, I have the other webpage, internationalastrologers.com. It's free astrology, free lessons. You can get a free chart on there and everything you might want to know. And the astrologers you were asking me about as to who's a good one, they all write articles for me and post them to the webpage as well.
Fantastic.
So there's something they can get for
free.
We'll
put a link to the website on that too. That you've mentioned international astrology. I want to talk about interplanetary astrology.
Right.
I mean, astrology charts are drawn up on the position of the planets of this solar system.
Correct.
So it wouldn't really work with other people. I mean, other ETs, other entities. They'd have their own, I guess.
Yeah.
Never really thought of it that way.
No, I've thought of it, and I've asked that same question.
Okay.
If we as humans are here, then what do we do if we were an ET and showed up and said, I'd like to have my chart done. How are you going to do it?
And by the way, we do have ETs listening, and they may contact you. No, I don't know.
I'm going to have to figure out how to do it, aren't I?
CC, I was wondering about astrology. I mean, where did it start? Do you know the history of astrology?
Well, I'll tell you, Jerry, in the history, Vedic astrology has been around for thousands of years. That would be the Indian astrology. The earliest record of astrology is in Babylon, 1645 B.C. And the earliest horoscope was back at 1410 B.C.
Really?
The Egyptians used the earliest of the mathematical records for astrology, and Ptolemy, P-T-O-L-E-M-Y, was between 85 to 165 B.C., was Greek.
Wow. Ask us a question. I didn't expect to get such a detailed answer. I'm impressed, C.C. So it goes back to the earliest times, goes past Babylon even.
It absolutely does. It continues on back. That's the earliest record that I found for you.
Okay.
Tried to give you as accurate of an answer as I could.
When you come to these UFO Congress things, and you've been here 8 years, what kind of things did you do over there at your little booth?
You know, I've done a number of things that I've got going over there. Everybody says I always have the most eclectic table out there. I have dowsing rods, so I teach people how to douse. I am also an intuitive, so I've been known to do readings. I do astrology. I do numerology. And I help Dad out with his stuff by manning his table for him. I have a lot of people that come in.
Yeah, I've seen you every year here.
Uh-huh. I'm the Mother Earth for everybody out there. If you need anything, go on.
Tell our audience, you know, one thing that we talk to people here a lot about, and other meetings and conferences, but not on the air very much, it's dowsing. I always think of that as looking for water.
You know, with dowsing, and I'll tell you, I have dowsing rods, and I make my own.
Yeah.
And they're called the Spanish L rod. They're in the shape of an L.
And they have someone hire you to make a dowsing rod?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They can make them up personal for their own size. I've done that one, and then I have them that I sell on their own.
Uh-huh.
Now, then there's the pendulum style that you use for dowsing as well. And that's hanging. You can just use a ring if you want and put it on a chain and have it hang down and do it from that. But on a dowsing rod, what you are asking for is what you are going to get. So you can do it for what's called water witching, dowsing for water. Or you could do it for minerals. It's what you are putting that thought in is where your rod is going to focus to. I took it one time and thought, okay, let's give this an experiment. I'm a researcher. Let's pick this baby apart and see where we can go with it. Who says it's got to be just water? So I took it and I went over a map and I wanted to find a mine that I could stake a claim on and work. So I took a BLM map, Bureau of Land Management, put it over and I said, where's a good mine? Boop, it crossed the line. Okay, I circled that. Let me get a bigger, more focused in map. I took that, boop, closed in on it again. They cross is what the rods will come together and cross, creating an X mark. X marks a spot. I brought it down and I says, okay, I want to stake a claim on this area right here. What is this particular, because it didn't show anything. What is this particular area here that I'm staking a claim to? Well, in the area, it turned out in the late 1800s, it was the old Jesse Benton Works. It employed over 2,000 people and it was a silver mine. It was closed down because they hit water and they also hit gold, but there was water underneath. So I had staked a claim on this. I went out there and took a look at it and by golly, it was popping silver for me.
Wow.
And that was using my dowsing rod. Now that was just finding that. I went out to my sister's ranch. She needed some help trying to find a water line that she had that they were having problems with. So I went out in my yard and I dowsed and I hit a spot here and a spot here and I followed it down. Sure enough, that's where their water line was and going with that. So I can go out in a dry area and to find out when you're doing dowsing, it's sitting down and saying, first off, where's the water? And then you come back and you say, is it 300 feet, 100 feet, 50 feet? And each time it's going to close as to where it's at. Or is it 50 feet, it doesn't go, 100 feet, it doesn't go, 200 feet, it starts coming in. We now know it's deep, how deep it is. This is how a water dowser is going to go out and find your water.
So what's the mechanism, what's the secret of that dowsing rod? I mean, is there...
Focuses on your own energy. If you're able to focus on what it is you're wanting, then you're able to use your rod to be able to do that. I don't think you have to be any talented individual. I have them at my table, and I have people that are amazed. I had a cowboy that came in one year, and he sat down, and he goes, well, I don't believe in those. I don't know how they work. Put them in your hand, and let's see. We did, and I says, here you are. You're facing here. Let's ask it where the river is. The river was flowing right behind him. And the rods turned around and went, ee! And they pointed right behind, and he turned with them, and sure enough, they pointed right to the river. He says, by golly, I've never had something like that happen. That's scary. I said, that's what a dowsing rod is. In this case, it didn't have to cross. It just rolled it around and pointed to where it was. Let's find somebody in the room. They rolled around and pointed to each individual that he would sit there and do. He says, okay, I'll tell you what. You find a blind spot. I'll close my eyes so you don't tell me what it is. Just think about what it is. And then afterwards, let me know you're ready. Did that. Now let's go find out where it goes. Think the question. Okay, when I did it, it didn't go anywhere. But I gave him the rods and says, okay, now let's see where it goes. He holds them and immediately it points right to the spot where he was going without moving his hand or anything, just standing there at me and thinking about that spot.
So it's a subconscious reaction of some sort.
I think it is. I do believe it is. Mm-hmm. A subconscious is picking up in your mind your vibration of what it is you're going for. You have to focus on what it is you're looking for, though.
We're almost out of time, but I want to give you an opportunity to plug what's going on. You got so many projects. I don't know exactly which one to focus in on.
Where do you start with, right?
Right.
Well, I will tell you, Dad has his books, UFOPhotoArchives.com. He sells all of his books, and I help Dad to promote Dad.
Uh-huh.
I have a cookbook I've done, that, so you can find that on my webpage. And that's in All Roads Lead Somewhere.
Okay, All Roads Lead Somewhere.
That's right. So you can go to UFOPhotoArchives.com. InternationalAstrologers.com, SedonaVisions.com. All roads lead to somewhere. And I will guarantee you there's something free in there for everyone.
Well,
whoever
good.
Gets in contact always gets a free thank you gift out of it.
Now, you may not want to talk about this, but you mentioned it earlier. You said you had had contact at one time or another with something?
Mm-hmm. When I was a child and then again as an adult.
Can you tell me a little bit about one of those? Okay.
Sure. When I was a child... probably starting when I was about 3 until I was about 15, 16 going into puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have strong ones when they're children or they might have them during puberty. They might. In mine, I have a recall on all of those. And in it, there was always this pretty blue light, like a cobalt blue light that I would feel, or not feel, but I would see in the room. And then I would feel very, very tired. you know, real sleepy, like I was like drugged up, although I wasn't, but that's, you know, how you felt. And I would hear this murmuring, like a mumbling, talking sound that would like was coming out of the vents. I could hear it, and it was three men, three gentlemen that would be, I could hear them talking, and then they would get clearer and clearer. And then the next thing you know, there would be this one man, and he was very, very tall, with an elongated face and long fingers, very nice looking. And he would show up, and he would take me through this area that would go through a door and into a lab. And it was, you know, like going through a door to step into a portal of time. And there was a lab, and there was a blackboard, and there was equations, and there was different things going on. They would take me to a board where there were the equations, and then they would ask me to finish an equation and give me a, you know, something to, an instrument to write with, like chalk. And I'd write that out, and then I would wake up. When I'd wake up, I'd find all these equations written on my walls.
Wow.
And I'd get in more trouble for that, I got to tell you, for, you know, writing on the walls with crayons. I mean,
yeah,
didn't do me too good. This went on until I was about in my teens, and then it stopped.
Hmm.
Now, I will say, in my teens, I had a lot of what I call cheap dog tricks, little tricks that I could do that I've since forth put blocks on, that I stopped it from happening. Could bend spoons, I could read minds, what I call dog tricks, do a lot of these things. But, you know, people get frightened when you're looking at them and you get into their head and you can read what they're thinking and you answer them before they've even opened their mouth. And then all of a sudden you're getting teased by the kids that you're a freak show. So I stopped.
But do you think that you were given these talents with these contacts?
I have to ask, was I given the talents through the contacts, or did I already have the talents and it opened it up? Yeah, and it was developed through that, mm-hmm, by the contacts to develop it more and bring it stronger in there. I know in finding things and locating things, remote viewing, I can sit down and locate something and say, I am the object, where am I? Now, I've done this on a number of occasions when people have gotten lost, and I've tried calling the sheriff's department, who I have got to tell you is not really open.
Yeah.
I don't care. They're not open. I've said, if you just look here, stand right there and look, you will see them. You will find them. Okay, we'll do that. And then they blow it off. Next thing you know, you hear about it. They were found, and there it was. All right? If everybody has this ability and talent, if more people would be open to it and receptive to it, then we could see a lot less and more openness. The universe is so big. And we just use such a tiny, minuscule amount of it. How much of it are we missing?
On remote viewing, I'm always puzzled. I mean, obviously, a lot of people believe in it. The government spent a lot of money on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked a lot. I've talked to people I respect who say, yeah, I've remote viewed people on Mars or whatever. And how does that really work? Then it's like a TV screen or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't mean that sounds sarcastic.
No, that's fine.
When I will use an example.
Okay.
My dad lost a crystal off his watch one time. And he calls me up at the house and he says, I can't find my crystal. So I close my eyes and could see the face of the crystal. I says, well, Dad, if you go to the doorway, it looks like it popped off on the door and fell down and right down on the side. And he goes, which doorway? I said, doorway by your bedroom. Just look down on the floor. Walk in there, look down the side of the wall, right there on the floor. I can see it very clear. That's where it is. It's like being right there, literally, and looking at it. Now I was at my house, and he was at his. So he walked in there, and he looks down, and he goes, how the blankety blank, did you see that? There's that crystal. He said, that blends right in with the floor. How did you see it?
Yeah.
Remote viewing. It's a matter of remote is
sure
to be able to put that mind someplace. You know, Jerry, we use such little of our brain. What are we capable of? Look how much the dolphins use and what they're capable of.
Well, you got a good point with that, and it's a good way to end the show, except we want to be sure, and we'll mention all websites and everything as we go. And we have the links as well. But is there something that you'd like to talk to about tonight that I didn't bring up, I mean, besides solar cooking?
No, I think we've pretty well covered it, other than wouldn't that be nice if we all did something nice, didn't look for anything in return other than to pass it forward and do something nice for somebody else. Even a little ripple can become a big ripple and make a difference.
Good way to close the show. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
With that, we'll close. This has been a show from the UFO Congress. Roberta Scott's our on-location producer. Until next time, cheers.
The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at shopjerrypippin.com.